lots of things happening as far as government legislation is concerned. There's one thing that I really wanted to ask you about this morning. They're putting through the religious discrimination bill. Have you seen that?
Yeah. I mean, it's been around for a long, long time, and I think it's largely designed, as I interpret it, it's largely designed to enable certain religious people or religious bodies to discriminate. Like everything this government does, you know, religious discrimination bill, you think, oh, well, that's to stop people discriminating, but it's actually there to enable people to discriminate despite the already anti-discrimination laws that are there.
Yeah.
And it all arises out of that halal business.
Yes, they claim it's all about that. But there's been an article written by David Marr this morning in The Guardian, and he says this religious discrimination bill is designed to let the churches be nasty, nasty to children, nasty to employees of those faiths, and nasty in the pulpit. And some of the things he's actually said in this article, I can't actually say on the air because I'll probably get a whole lot of people coming down on me, but it reckons he's talking about them having permission to be able to sack somebody just because, you know, for instance, a gardener in a church because they're gay.
Well, and yes, absolutely. And also to not employ someone because they're gay. But, you know, that's the thing that people focus on. But, I mean, it can be interpreted a great deal more broadly. I mean, my wife used to be a teacher and she worked in a Catholic school. If the bill had been in then, they could have sacked her because they didn't want single women. You know, you have to be a married woman or whatever crazy thing got into their head, you know. So it's one of those open slather things. And discrimination is about, the discrimination bills should be about creating equality. This is, as Marr says, is creating inequality. And, I mean, his bit about talking gives them the right to be nasty from the pulpit. That means that they can say, you get one of these crazy ranting evangelicals like Morrison and the people in the church that he attends. I mean, they can now get up in the pulpit and not just say, well, we're not going to employ gay people or we're not going to let gay people into our church, but they can actually stand up in the pulpit and condemn them publicly, you know, for being sinners and God knows what else they're going to do. So it gives a certain sector of the community the ability to defame and say terrible things about people that no one else would be allowed to say and to do terrible things. Yeah, absolutely. And it's all part of it. By the way, it's all part of, I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but there is a very strong movement, not just in the US, but here, to recruit and identify, this, I'm talking about these very extreme right-wing religious groups, to identify and recruit young people, or young men particularly, out of university, and train them up to be politicians. So playing a long game, so that you end up getting, like the extreme right-wing politicians might be 0.5% of the community, but their representation in Parliament is like 10-15% of the community, you know. And that's a direct result of this long-term grooming situation, if you would like. And then you end up getting, like, Dominic Perrottet, the new New South Wales Premier. He's one of these people. Morrison and has got several cabinet ministers who have come out of this scheme. So, I mean, it's a pretty frightening... The whole thing's pretty frightening.
It is. It's very, very scary.
Talking about frightening things, Mark, aren't we?
Well, it's a very frightening world at the moment, Victor. Like, these people are, they actually have an agenda, and their agenda is to take over. It's written in their creed. It's the seven mountains thing that they talk about in their evangelical thing. And their idea is to take over, and they've been working on this for the last 40 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's right. And I guess one of the things that I find really interesting, and I can't quite explain this to myself, but we are now a very, very secular country. And indeed, a lot of people are very hostile to religion. I think maybe sometimes they're overly hostile. There are plenty of great religious people out there. But
I think the hostility is more directed towards the religions themselves rather than those people that are, you know, just pious religious people.
Yeah, that's right. But despite that, despite us being very secular and many people being very anti-religion, Morrison can say something like, you know, when I'm talking to someone, I might be praying over them without them knowing about it. Why doesn't that scandalise all these people that, you know... I don't really understand that, to be honest.
Yeah, the situation is quite mind-numbing when you actually try and think about it all.
I think mind-numbing is the right thing, the right word. I think people's mind have got... Now, I have to say, for example, that the most recent scandal of Michael Sukkar, I'm not really across that, you know, and I've got to be quite frank, because you get to a point where you go, oh, the next piece of Liberal Party corruption, you know, and for someone like me who leads a party to admit that he's not across a piece of old Liberals' corruption, because it's just so common, it's just so everyday, I think that's what's happening.
Yes.
Average punter out there, they just accept it.
Well, yeah. They seem to have made it like it's a mainstream normal thing, and this is what... Gladys Berejiklian, the former Premier of New South Wales, said, "Oh, pork barreling! This is a way we do business."
Oh, absolutely! And that was the ultimate giveaway. I mean, if you look at, for example, Benjamin Netanyahu in the leader of Israel, the Israeli government, he's on corruption charges, and those corruption charges are no more or less than pork barreling. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
And pork barreling is seen as a corrupt and criminal act throughout the world, right? But we at the bottom of the corruption, you know, mountain here, we go, that an ex-premier can say that without any sense of shame, or like she doesn't even know it's wrong.
Well, you know, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. I wanted to ask you something else. This right-wing... extremist point of view that's being pushed forward, and they're actually out there taking over people that have a genuine idea of what they're protesting about, and then their protest is taken over by these right-wing people that join the protest and make it violent and throw gallows up and effigies and there was even some guy wandering around with a bow and arrow over there in Melbourne. Is this a tactic that's been used before? Like, I thought it looked to me very similar to some of the stuff that was going on in the US.
Well, that's the point. That is exactly the point. No, I think, as far as I know, we've not ever got to that extreme. But I remember when they were storming the Capitol in the US, and, you know, obviously Trump was stirring that up. He didn't have the courage to stick with them, by the way, but anyway, he was stirring that up. And I remember thinking, you know, what happens in America is so influential because, you know, wherever you live in the world, you report your local news, and you may not report the neighbouring country, but you'll report what happens in America, you know. They're still very, very influential in the media scene and entertainment and so on. So I thought, okay, the equivalent nut jobs in this country, you know, I mean, the criminal investigators and lawyers know that the copycat stuff is really dangerous. That's why you try and suppress too much knowledge of somebody doing terrible things in a certain way, because you will immediately get copycat people. But of course, you can't suppress news of that level, and, you know, in some ways you wouldn't want to, obviously. The result was that I felt that inevitably there'd be, you know, people copying that guy with bullhorns and everything, and they would be doing the same thing. But at the same time, people like Palmer and Craig Kelly, and other extreme right-wing influences, they saw it from the point of view of Trump and what he was able to do by just a little bit of pot stirring, you know. Mm. And they know they can do the same thing, and then they can present themselves as the heroes of these people. I think it's a hugely erroneous political move on their part, because the numbers of these people are very, very limited.
Well, in Australia,
so I think that,
not as
yeah, and I think, yeah, and I think that that see, Palmer already buggered up his last chance when he said "Make Australia Great Again," because he saw Trump have such success with that. He thought, "Oh, I'll copy that," right? But Australians don't think that way. They don't want to be great. They just want to have a decent life. They want people to have a fair go, you know. So he by siding with these sort of extremists. Now, Trump did that, and he got 60 million people voting for him. Palmer's... Anyone who's thinking of voting for Palmer who isn't an absolute ratbag will go, oh, no. You know, okay. We're not going to go for that. So I think that there's a good side to it at the same time that it's really, really wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Well, see, the other thing is I think it was the chief of ASIO came out well before the pandemic even started and said that Australia was starting to get a problem with right-wing extremist groups. And then that Nazi group was discovered in the Grampians in Victoria. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. And I think they may have even acknowledged that the growth of the right-wing extremists is more of a terrorist threat than, you know, Islamic extremists. And I think that's quite a statement for ASIO to make, but I'm sure it's true. But I think we need to put it in proportion and say the Islamic threat is minimal. This is slightly more than minimal. I think these people make a lot of noise and they look very ugly and they frighten us. I think we're still a long way from degenerating into what